Hello everybody, it's Sam from Financial Samurai, and in this episode, I want to clarify the tax-free profit rule when you sell a primary residence or a rental. And that rule a lot of people talk about is tax-free profits of $250,000 for a single person and $500,000 for a married couple. And one of the ideas I was thinking about was moving back into a rental for 2 years out of the past 5 years so that I can sell the rental for a $500,000 tax-free profit. Now, the rental was purchased in 2003 for $580,000, and a neighbor sold his property for $1.36 million. So I think I'm able to sell the property for, let's say, $1.3 million or a $720,000 gross profit. Now, just for simplicity's sake, I've excluded, you know, all the commissions and transfer tax and capital improvement costs over the years, just to keep things simple. Now, I thought that I would be able to get the full $500,000 tax-free exclusion, but the reality is that I have to prorate it, thanks to a lot of readers and also thanks to a blogging buddy, Amy, who we talked about this before, but I forgot. 3 years ago, I was thinking about selling the rental condo, and we talked exactly about this issue, that a proration is necessary even if you move back into your rental. So I wanted to use this podcast to clarify my example and to offer other examples for those of you who have long-term rentals or thinking about moving back in to save on taxes as well. So to reiterate, I bought the property for $580,000 in 2003, and I lived in it for 2 years, 2003 and 2004, and I've been renting it out ever since. So I've been thinking, maybe I should move back in. It's a two-bedroom, two-bath, lower my lifestyle so I can save a lot on taxes. And my effective tax rate is about 27%. So here is how to do the math, because I have to prorate it. Basically, you have to take the number of qualified years divided by the total length of ownership. So what is a qualified year? Well, a lot of people think, well, a qualified year just means you living in the rental as a primary residence. So I was thinking, okay, qualified years would be the 2 years that I lived in the rental, the beginning 2 years, and then the next 2 years, if I move back in this year and next year. So that would be 4 years, and divided by the total length of ownership, which would be 17 years at the time. So that's 22.2%. But that's actually wrong, which is good, because there was a rule that passed that says that any use of your rental before January 1st, 2009 is considered qualified use. So you could have been renting out your property for 10 years prior to January 1st, 2009, and it would all be considered qualified use. So the math looks like this. Again, it's qualified use divided by years of ownership. My math, the numerator is 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, that's all qualified use. And then 2018 and 2019 if I move back in for 2 years. So the numerator is 8 and the denominator is 17. So 17 would be the total number of years if I move back in starting this year and I sold it 2 years from now. So 8 divided by 17 is 47%. And so therefore, I have to take 47%, that's a prorated amount, multiply it by my gain, which let's just say is $720,000, then my tax-free gain is equal to $338,400. So $338,400 is what I don't have to pay capital gains tax on. And if my effective tax rate is 27%, my tax savings is $91,368. So earning tax-free profits of $338,400 is better than a poke in the eye, but it's certainly not as enticing as earning the full $500,000 in tax-free profits, since we have more than $500,000 in capital gains. And to clarify, I'm not limited, and neither are you, to 47% of the $250,000 and $500,000 number. What we're limited to is 47% of the gain. And then that gain is limited to $250,000 to $500,000. So in other words, at a 47% prorated amount, you can have a capital gain of about $1,064,000 before you run up to the $500,000 limit as a married couple. And then you just take your effective tax rate and multiply it by that number to get what your actual tax savings is. So if you're still confused, no problem. Here are more examples as highlighted by Amy, a lawyer and a blogging buddy friend of mine who pitched in and reminded me about this proration in the first place. So let's say Bob buys a place on January 1st, 2003 for $500,000. It's 2018 and he's planning to sell it for $900,000. And he's trying to figure out how much is his capital gains tax and whether he should move back into the property for tax savings or not. So when Bob bought his house in 2003 in scenario one, he moved in right away. He lived there until January 1st, 2016, and he started renting it out after that. He plans to keep it rented until he sells it. So long as he sells it before January 1st, 2019, all of his use is, quote, qualified use under code 121. The last 3 years of rental property usage is included in qualified use under the code. So that means all of his capital gains is potentially eligible for exclusion. And I say potentially because it depends on whether he's single or married. If he's married, he gets the entire exclusion. And if he's single, he gets $250,000 exclusion and he has to pay capital gains tax on the other $150,000. So remember, he's selling it for $900,000 and he bought it for $500,000, so he has a gross profit of $400,000. Now, before he can do anything, however, he still needs to pay the depreciation recapture tax before anything. Moving on to the second scenario, he buys the house in 2003, moves in right away, and he lives there until January 1st, 2016. He starts renting it out after that, but it's mid-2018 now, so 2.5 years later, and he's worried he might not be able to sell it before January 1st, 2019. So to make sure he doesn't fall short of the 2 out of the 5 years rule, he kicks his tenant out and moves back into the property on July 1st, 2018. That sounds very logical, right? But actually, Bob just shot himself in the foot. The exception for the 3 years of rental property usage only applies if it's after the last date that Bob used the property as his primary residence. Only after the last date. So by Bob moving back in, he turned the 2.5 years of rental property use into non-qualified use. Now he has to prorate his gain. So assume he sold on December 31st, 2018. His qualified use ran from January 1st, 2003 through January 1st, 2016, because he lived in it for 13 years, plus July 1st, 2018 through December 31st, 2018. That's only half a year. And his unqualified years was the 2.5 years. So the math is 13.5 divided by 16 years are qualified. So 84% of his gain is potentially excluded. So if it's a $400,000 capital gain, you multiply that by 84% and it's $336,000. And the remaining $64,000 of his gain is subject to tax if he is a single fella. So what Bob should have done was never moved back in and just left it empty and tried to sell right away before his 3 years is up on January 1st, 2019. Now, if he continues to live in his old rental, then his prorated gains capital inclusion will continue to grow, but it'll never get back to 100%. So for example, if he lived in the property until January 1st, 2022 for 3 more years, after moving in on July 1st, 2018, his exclusion would therefore be 16 and a half divided by 19 years, or 87%. Let's talk about scenario three, where there's a tax law change. Bob bought his house in 2003 and rented it out immediately. Starting on January 1st, 2009, the tenants move out and he moved back into the property. He's now considering selling the property. So all of Bob's $400,000 capital gain is potentially excluded. Why? Because all rental property activity prior to January 1st, 2009 is considered, quote, qualified use. This new proration portion of the code 121 kicked in on January 1st, 2009. So all rental usage before then is a freebie, so long as you meet the 2 out of 5 year rule before you sell. So if Bob is single, he can take a $250,000 exclusion. And if he's married, he can take the full $400,000 exclusion. But let's complicate it a little bit, just for learning's sake. And hopefully you guys aren't thoroughly confused. So let's say Bob moves into the property even later. So Bob bought his house in 2003 and rented it out immediately. Starting on January 1st, 2014, the tenants move out and he moved back into the property. So we're back to proration territory again. Bob's qualified use consists of the 6 years he owned and rented it from January 1st, 2003 until December 31st, 2008. Plus the 5 years he lived in it from January 1st, 2014 until he sells December 31st, 2018. So the rental period from January 1st, 2009 through December 31st, 2013, which is 5 years, is unqualified use. So the math is 11 years of qualified use divided by 16 years of total ownership is 69%. So 69% of the gain is potentially excluded. So $400,000 capital gain times 69% is $276,000. So again, if he's single, he gets $250,000 of it, and he has to pay capital gains tax on the remainder $26,000. And if he's married, he gets the full exclusion. Now, I know I've lost a lot of you guys here because this is boring stuff, but this is actually really important stuff for you to consider if you decide to move back into a long-term rental to try to save on taxes. The bottom line is, in order to qualify for the full home sale exclusion under code section 121, 2 out of 5 year ownership and use rule, non-qualifying use after the owner leaves his or her principal residence can't exceed 3 years. After 3 years, you must prorate the exclusion by taking the number of qualified years divided by the total years of ownership if you have lived in the property for 2 out of the past 5 years. If you don't meet the 2 out of the past 5 year rule, you get no exclusion at all, not even a proration. So for those of you who've owned rental property for a very long time, let's say over 10 years, and are sitting on large capital gains, it doesn't really seem worthwhile moving back into a rental to try to save on taxes. Instead, the best move is probably to hold on to your rental property for as long as possible to avoid any selling costs and capital gains tax, or do a 1031 exchange to buy a new rental property with the proceeds. After going through this exercise, my family's probably not going to downgrade our lifestyle by moving back into our two-bedroom rental just to save $91,000 in capital gains tax as a married couple. Now, that's not bad, but it's just not enticing enough because we've got to pay, you know, the commission costs and the transfer tax, and we might have to stage it. And also, we still get to add in capital improvements over the years to increase our cost basis and therefore lower our capital gains and our tax bill. So we want to live life to the fullest now. So perhaps sometime in the future, we may put the condo on the market once our tenant's lease runs out and do a 1031 exchange into a more expensive property in Honolulu. We'll rent out the Honolulu property for at least 1 year to legitimize the property as an in-kind rental, which is required from the 1031 exchange rules. Then in 1 to 4 years, maybe we'll move into the property and make it a primary residence just in time for our son to go to preschool or kindergarten. Or we'll just keep both properties, hire a property manager, and then save diligently in order to buy a Hawaii property when it's time to move. That's probably a smart move because you don't want to buy property that you don't absolutely love. And why give yourself that pressure, right? I've always felt that the best thing to do when you're buying property is to buy it to enjoy and live in rather than to rent it out. So the only issue with keeping both SF properties is that I'll need to find some way to save over $1 million more since I won't have the proceeds from the 1031 exchange by selling the SF rental condo. I really hope all these examples help clarify this tax-free profit exclusion rule. I know it's very, very complicated, but I promise you, if you listen to this over and over again, and if you read the post several times, you'll get it. Thanks so much, everyone.